How many of you have started gardening yet this year? Anybody into that? Okay, and then, you know, kind of add to that, anybody into flower gardening? You've been in the soil one way or another? So as you know, there are some weeds that you can just kind of spray and they're gone, it disappears. But a lot of times you do have to get in there and root out the weeds if you're going to have a healthy garden, right? And that takes some work, and it's not always pleasant work, but it's important. Today, before we leave the service, our goal is to root out whatever vestiges of unkindness might be in our heart so that we're free to go ahead and plant the seeds of kindness and move into this summer with joy. All right, so that's the goal. And I'm giving you that ahead of time so that you know that, you know, part of this will be cheerful, motivational, but when we get to the rooting out the unkindness part, that might be a little bit uncomfortable, all right? It's not meant to be that way, but it just is. It's sometimes you've got to do the hard things, and I know that sometimes if I let different roots of bad character grow in my life, those things are just going to get bigger. They're just going to cause more problems until they're finally rooted out. So, you know, bitterness is like that, prejudice is like that, selfishness, greed. And I would venture to say that unkindness is one of those sins that can kind of get rooted into the way you think, the way you act, and you might not even realize you're being unkind because you're so used to it, right? So we want to make sure that we see things for what they are, and hopefully we can conclude this kindness challenge with a little bit of proactive weeding in our hearts so that we're ready for the summer and to see what kind of fruit comes of our life as we go forward being kind, okay? So You've heard about these all-church projects, and Matt mentioned we have the final one coming up tomorrow, Giving Blood. But thank you for all of you who participated in these. These were just practice, right? This is just where together we can say, let's practice being kind. We had a lot of neat things happen as a result of all that. The real work begins when you in your own life start doing kind things, not because the church has a program to do kind things, but just because it comes out of you naturally. It's your first response to the people and the situations you encounter. Here's our key verse for the series, and we're going to look at this a little bit more in depth in a moment, but I wanted to remind you of it. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you're his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. So there's sort of our mission in this series, is to say, all right, I realize I've been called to be kind, to love people the way that Jesus has loved me. That's a tall order, right? It gives us a kind of a lifetime pursuit of saying, I want in every interaction I have to be a little bit more like Christ, to follow in his footsteps. And we've learned throughout this series that Jesus showcased kindness to everyone, everywhere. And so we look at the way he treated people and say, Lord, would you give me the grace to treat the people around me just like that? I want people maybe even to mistake me for Jesus sometimes, where I'm acting so much like him that people can tell that I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Christ. Okay, we also learned a few weeks ago that kindness to everyone, which would be, of course, our big goal, right, has to begin with kindness to someone. And so it's those people that are difficult to be kind toward that a lot of times we're called to sort of move toward them. It's easy to be kind to nice people, but being kind to the unkind, that is a little bit different of a challenge. And then last week, really grateful for Pastor Dell's message about the transformational nature of kindness. And he opened up for us Luke 19 and the story of Zacchaeus and how Zacchaeus' whole life was rearranged and changed because Jesus showed him supernatural kindness, surprising kindness. And you and I get to go out and follow Jesus in that as well and be nicer than what people would expect. That's the goal. All right, so a quick question for you as we look back on the last 5 weeks in doing this series, if you were a part of it. How have you tried the kindness challenge this month, and how has it impacted you? Okay, so I'll put you on the spot just a little bit and invite you to turn to your neighbor and ask them that question. All right, so I'll give you 60 seconds to compare notes on if you've been a part of this, what have you learned? All right, go for it. All right, now none of us can say we've officially arrived at kindness because it is a lifelong pursuit. And today what we're going to do is talk about how we would root out unkindness. And I wonder, I don't want you to compare notes on this one, because the person might be here, but do you know anyone who's really unkind? Okay, now you don't get to tell your neighbor who that is, but if you think about the, you know, sometimes it's helpful to look at something's opposite if you want to understand it, right? So we say, well, I want to be kind. What has happened to me that was very unkind? Well, I don't want to do that. I think back to one of my teachers in school, and I won't even mention the grade, just on the off chance that somehow the audio of this message, you know, connects the dots to somebody somewhere, and they're like, oh, I know that person. But one of my teachers at school was just a very, very angry lady. And I didn't know that. I was in elementary school, so I didn't know how to process exactly what was going on, but I knew it wasn't good. You'd go to school and you'd be stressed out being in the class. You'd kind of be afraid of if you did something wrong that you might get kind of yelled at in front of other people. And this lady, I think she did have, she must have had some hurt or other challenges in her life, but sometimes she would actually shake with anger in front of our class. She would be like this, and she'd turn red and be like, you know, and just, it was a little over the top. So I, for a variety of reasons, you know, there were lots of challenges that year. I ended up in the principal's office trying to tell the principal about how angry the teacher gets. So, you know, like any good principal, and she said, well, I was going to investigate this situation. So the principal said, well, great, we'll look into it. And so guess what the principal did? She set up an observation day to come and sit in our class. And guess what the angry teacher did? She was on her best behavior in front of the principal. So, you know, and then at the end, you know, it was kind of like, well, there was this, you know, everybody got to check their box. Like they investigated and everything looks okay and we'll keep moving forward. And here us poor kids just had no, you know, no justice. So there it was. I'm glad I got through that grade. I don't actually know that that ever really resolved. I mean, it was kind of sad, but, you know, just she was a long-term teacher and I don't know that anybody who wasn't one of the students there when it was just her in the room would have ever kind of seen that or known about that. But I definitely felt some unkindness in that year. And I think back, and I could kind of cite different situations where people have been unkind to me or to my family. I would say on the whole, and I know some of us have different stories, on the whole, I would say I've lived a fairly blessed life, usually surrounded by nice people. So I'm grateful for that. I think some of that's being involved in church kind of puts you in a social situation where theoretically, not absolutely, theoretically, the people around you are probably nice and they'll be kind to you. And so I'm really grateful for that. All right, but I wanted to talk a little bit about the rooting out of the bitterness, rage, and anger. Notice how this is a proactive, this isn't something where you kind of sit back and say, Jesus is going to transform me from the inside out. I'll just wait for that to happen. No, there is something we have to do. We have to get rid of these negative things to make room for the kindness. So there's some agency you and I have to employ if we're going to be kind. We also have to get rid of the things that are the opposite of kindness. So in your Bible, turn to Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to read this probably somewhat familiar text. At least a couple verses of it are very familiar, where it gets into the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But I'd like to read the surrounding section here and just show you sort of how God's strategy for our own transformation works. That as you look at your life today and you say, well, I have things I probably do need to change. I have bitterness or rage or anger, unkindness in my heart, rooted in my life and my behavior, my habits. I need to get rid of all that and be kind instead. Lord, I need your help. I don't know if I can change. And that's when the Lord brings the help to us through the Holy Spirit. So we find this in chapter 5 of Galatians, verse 16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you're not under obligation to the law of Moses. So the people that Paul was writing to when he wrote the book of Galatians were people who were thinking, maybe we'll be better, like maybe we'll behave better if we really zero in on the law and we keep doing life the Old Testament way. says, you know what? That's not going to help you. It didn't help people for all those centuries previous. It's not going to help you now. The Spirit has to do something transformational in your heart. So making a great list of rules is not going to suffice. It's not about obligation to the law that makes you a better person. That might help you behave better on the outside. But if you want to be transformed, the Spirit has to guide your life. Your desires have to change. So we keep reading, verse 19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful desires, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucify them there. Since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. And let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. Okay, so the recipe here for transformation is not we need a better law to follow. Because we could make a long list. And in fact, we did this month, didn't we? The first day of the kindness challenge, we handed out those little sheets that had 30 different ideas to be kind. And that's great, right? That's the kind of things we should do. But that list alone isn't transformational for you or for me. It might even set a standard where we go, I just am not that kind of person. That there's something wrong on the inside of me, not just that I need to check a box every day. So the Holy Spirit guides our lives. First, our sinful nature, our old way of life, is nailed to the cross with Jesus. And we say, I'm dead to the way I used to be. Sure, I still have those habits. I'm still in a world filled with temptation. But that's no longer my definition. I'm letting my sinful nature, my old self, die with Jesus on the cross and be raised to new life. And now I keep in step with the Spirit. Now my job is to follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of life. You say, so well, that sounds really inspirational. That sounds great. But how would I do that? So zoom in on verse 25. Since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Say, I'd love to know how exactly that works. Because if I could figure that out, then kindness would be, you know, the wind would be at our back, right? It'd be like kind of a downhill stroll. Because God would be helping us with that transformation. It wouldn't be us trying to pull something out that we don't really have or trying to act a way that's contrary to what we really want. No, the Spirit will change our desires and we start to follow him into this new kind of life. So how do we do it? I've got four things to offer you, not particularly complicated, but I do think they're challenging. And then we're going to do that rooting out process, which I'm looking forward to it, but none of us are going to like it, all right? So just hold on for that. First of all, we're going to need to pray for guidance. So we regularly seek the Holy Spirit's direction through prayer, asking for wisdom and sensitivity to his leading in daily decisions and interactions. So Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do this. Remember a few weeks ago, we talked about how he's the paraclete. He's the one that walks alongside us and encourages us. So we understand the Holy Spirit is there to guide us. He's there to walk with us. So we need to be praying and saying, Lord, if I'm going to walk in step with your Holy Spirit, if your Holy Spirit's fruit is going to be obvious in my life because I'm following him so closely, I need you to guide me. Because left to my own, I generally don't do the right thing and my heart doesn't go the right way. So Lord, I need your help. So that would be the first thing we have to do. Another one that's probably really obvious, but it's certainly worth saying, is to study his words. Engage the Bible consistently to understand the Spirit's values and to shape your thoughts and actions. I think about the old quote, I heard it from Chuck Swindoll, but I'm thinking he heard it probably from somebody else. It's one of those that gets passed around that someone had written in the front of a Bible, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Wow, that's really true. If the Bible is a regular part of your life, if you're intaking the truth of God, your life will be different. If the Bible is just on the shelf or it's the app that never gets opened on your phone, it's there, it's available, but it's not going to transform you. Sin will keep you from the book if you don't have it open in front of you. So 2 Timothy says, all scripture is inspired by God. It's useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. James said that the Bible's like a mirror that you can hold up and kind of look into the perfect law, the truth of God. And I think about the moments in my life when I'm not kind, or when I'm somehow, you know, maybe I say something and I didn't even realize it was mean, but that's how it was, or that's how people felt. I think I need to be looking in the mirror a little bit more often to see the truth so that I can understand what the Holy Spirit wants me to do. Otherwise, I might miss some things. Okay, so we'll look at that in just a minute. Number three is practicing obedience. Act on the Spirit's promptings, whether through conviction, inspiration, opportunities to show love, kindness, and generosity. When you think about letting the Holy Spirit guide every part of your life, think that's not just the things that maybe would be super obvious, like let the Holy Spirit guide you to pray or to share your faith. I mean, those would be important things, but every aspect of your life. You could be saying to the Holy Spirit, Lord, I'm open to your direction. So I won't ask for a show of hands, but I just want to ask you, like, have you ever felt like you were prompted by the Holy Spirit to do something? Like an idea popped into your mind that just was not normally what you would think. And it was like, you know, whatever, you should help that person, or you should go, you know, give something to somebody, or you should go take a minute and check in with someone. Sometimes people's, you know, have really interesting stories of like they'll be prompted, they'll think of somebody in the middle of the night and they'll send them a text or they'll call them, and then they'll find out like right at that time that person was in some terrible struggle or something was going wrong. And a lot of times when we follow up on those promptings, that's, you know, we realize after the fact, wow, here I thought that up, but the Holy Spirit actually guided me. He used me in some special way. By the way, one of the challenges with that is you might think of something great and then you sit and question like, well, did I just think that up, or is that actually like God giving me an assignment? So the little test I use, which is not in the Bible, so don't like check it with a doctrine book or something, but it generally works for me, is I'll think when I have that little prompting like, oh, you should go help that person, or you should go say something to that, you know, maybe that person looks lonely, you should go say hi. And I'll think to myself, maybe that's just me. Maybe that's just my idea. And then I'll think, well, what if it is the Holy Spirit? Like, I don't want to miss an opportunity or miss an assignment. So here's a great little test you can give. You can ask yourself, well, hold on, would the devil give me that idea? If he wouldn't, then it's probably not a bad thing to do anyway, right? So you say, if you go check in on somebody and it was really just you, well, okay, you still checked in on somebody, no harm done. I'd rather err toward saying yes to those promptings than hold back and maybe miss something really important that was supposed to happen. Okay, so one of those in the Bible that I thought would be fun to look at for just a second is in Acts. If you want to turn there to Acts 8, 8:29. This is the story of Philip when he was called to preach the gospel, and he was on the side of the road and he saw a chariot, and he had one of those promptings in that moment. Okay, now there's some miraculous circumstance that surrounds this whole story, but I want you to just zoom in on this moment. You know, there he is on the side of some dusty road in the ancient Near East, and he's wondering what to do, and there's this chariot off in the background, not even among his own people group. Here's the story. Verse 29. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk beside the carriage. Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. And Philip asked, do you understand what you're reading? The man replied, well, how can I, unless someone instructs me? And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. And then the passage of scripture happened to be about the coming Messiah. And as you read forward, you find out that that person from Ethiopia was ready and willing to receive the gospel. And he ended up getting baptized right there in that moment. So all of that started. Philip had no idea what the mission was going to be, but the Holy Spirit tapped him on the shoulder and said, go over to that carriage. And I think, wow, that would have been an easy opportunity to miss, right? If that had been you or me, wouldn't you have like second-guessed that prompting a little bit? Wouldn't you have thought, well, that'll be weird? Or like those people probably don't even speak my language, or I don't even quite know where I am right now. I don't know if that's safe. Like we'd have all sorts of excuses floating through our mind. But Philip was willing to let the Holy Spirit guide him in every aspect of his life. And so he walks up to this chariot, and here God had definitely set the situation up for him for more than just kindness. It was actually an amazing opportunity to open up the gospel here to a different people group that hadn't yet received it. So you and I, as we're seeking to walk in the Holy Spirit's power, would say, I always want to practice kindness, practice obedience to the things the Holy Spirit says, and maybe err to the side of going for it when I'm not quite sure. And here's the fourth thing, the last one, willingly listen. So we'd say, Holy Spirit, I want to be open to your searching, correction, and ongoing evaluation of my heart. So that's especially in the areas if he kind of knocks on a door of your heart and you're like, I'd rather not think about that, rather not talk about that, rather not pray about that. That's probably the door you should open and say, okay, Holy Spirit, do your work in here. In Psalms, the psalmist, after celebrating just the majesty of God's creation and God's intricate care for each of our individual lives, he says this, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out in me, anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. And so it's this process of saying, Lord, would you search me? Would you look in my heart and see what I'm not seeing? I think that's the process that we go through that's sort of like that weeding, where we say, okay, Lord, I'm open. You can show me what's wrong. So you could do this in any category of life, right? You could think about your purity or your finances or your pride or whatever, and you could do the same thing. But here we're talking about kindness. So I thought it'd be interesting to say to the Holy Spirit, well, Lord, would you evaluate my heart? Would you look inside and tell me what you see? So we have a little tool to help you with that. And Jason and Trevor are going to help me pass that out right here on the front row. I'd love for everybody to take one of these sheets of paper, one per individual, so everybody in the room can have one. And there should be a pen in the seat back in front of you, and you can grab that. And this is a little worksheet to root out unkindness. Now, there's quite a bit here, so you can follow up with this a little bit later. But I want to give you a minute to start doing it right now. Okay, and I'll give you a little coaching here while it's being passed out. There's a list of 57 ways that maybe unkindness is manifesting itself in our lives. Okay, these are things familiar to all of us. So I go through this and go, oh man, I have to check some of these things as well. But what it can do is it might just help us reveal a little bit of what we need to work on next. We're really going to take this kindness challenge forward into the summer. Okay, so as soon as you get your copy, you can go through, and all you have to do is check mark the things that are true of you. Okay, and this is kind of a little bit of confession time. You don't have to show this paper to anyone else unless you want to, but this would be just opportunity to get honest and say, Lord, would you help me see what you see so that I can grow in my kindness? So let's pray really quick. Let's just ask for the Holy Spirit to go ahead and do that. Spirit, right now, as we look at this paper, we recognize that all of us need to grow in our kindness. I pray that this tool, with the light of your word shining on it, would help us to see what we need to see. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'll give you a couple minutes here to go through and checkbox a few things. By the way, I'm sure there's at least someone in the room, and I don't know who you are, but there's someone in the room that has the paper in your hand and you're like, you know what, I'm not doing this. So I made one just for you. It's number 44. So you can read number 44 and check mark that one and then put the paper away. But for the rest of us that are practicing humility, you can go ahead and start at number one and see where you go. Have to confess, number two, I looked at that a couple times and thought, I don't even know if I know when I'm doing that, but I probably am doing that. Could be a few of you that are highly efficient or kind of wishing if this was on your computer screen, you could just highlight and select all, make this a little easier. But as you can see, there's maybe a few things to pray about. So you can keep filling this out as we go forward, but I wanted to call out toward the end of the sheet there. If you check 20 things, can't necessarily tackle all those at one time, but just ask the Lord, you know, what one or two of these should I look at more intently and pray about? And write that down and then make a little bit of a plan. Say, you know, here's an act of kindness that I could do that would counteract that tendency in my life. And it could be really simple. I mean, if you said I never share anything, then maybe your act of kindness is I'm going to go out and look for an opportunity to share something. Or if you say I'm generally kind of harsh with people, I'm going to look for an opportunity to go and be soft and caring to someone that may need a touch of love. Kindness on the outside has to start with an attitude on the inside. And that's why when we look at this, we first kind of receive the reality from the Holy Spirit, like, okay, there's areas I need to grow in. There's ways I need to take this challenge to heart. But we also end up asking God for help, saying, Lord, I need you to do your work. I mean, what exactly what the Bible says. I need the fruit of the Holy Spirit in my life because my fruit, if I do life my way, does not look right. So Holy Spirit, could I follow you and put my steps in your steps and together we'll go forward. Would you walk next to me as I try to live the way that Jesus would live? So the daily walk we're called to is to receive the kindness of God. We've talked about that a lot in this series, that the vision of this doesn't start with our own kind of like wish to be better. It starts with God's desire to love us. And as we receive love from God, we're then empowered to love others. We want to repent of unkindness, which is what this tool hopefully can help us do, to turn away from those things, those tendencies or behaviors we have that are unkind, so that we can follow the Holy Spirit and plant seeds of kindness wherever we go. What's really exciting about planting seeds in a garden is that you do generally end up harvesting the kind of seeds you plant. And so if you plant kindness, your life, some number of months from now, as those seeds take root and start to change you and the relationships you're in, the people around you, that's going to change the way your life goes. And so if you plant kindness, I really believe you'll have joy in return for that. All right, so I want to lead you in prayer for a moment. And then I have a couple different announcements to offer you. So we're not quite done. We have a few other moving parts here in the service, but I'd like to just take a minute and say to the Lord once again, Lord, if you want to speak to us, we're open-hearted to you. So Lord, we do say that. We have gone through this 5-week journey together talking about your kindness, our kindness, some of the one another commands that here within the church family we should be encouraging each other. And Lord, to discover that kindness should extend out like it did to Zacchaeus, where even people who aren't expecting a smile or a handshake or an affirmation, Lord, that we would be the ones offering that, that we would be the ones engaging the world around us and loving people the way that you've loved us. Lord, today we do want to pull those unkind habits out by the roots so that the soil is prepared, so that we're ready to plant seeds of kindness and to see fruit in our lives, fruit of joy and love. And Lord, we so look forward to that. I pray for every one of my brothers and sisters here, Lord, that they would walk in step with your Holy Spirit, that they would be able to see, Lord, the amazing joy and potential of their Christian life as they follow you and leave some of the negative habits behind, leave the unkindness behind, get rid of the bitterness and the anger and the rage and the slander, and instead do exactly what our verse says, tenderheartedly love each other, forgive each other, and follow you. So we look forward to doing that. In Jesus' name, amen.